Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. All right. Today, brethren, I'd like to reflect on the importance of cultivating an attitude of gratitude for two powerful ways that God works in our lives, through miracles and through blessings. Now, a lot of times when we think of miracles, we often picture big, dramatic events like the parting of the Red Sea, or perhaps Jesus healing the blind. But miracles can also be subtle, extraordinary acts that demonstrate God's power and his purpose in ways that we may not initially recognize. Blessings, on the other hand, are God's expressions of care, provision, and love. They might not always seem extraordinary, but they carry profound meaning because they show how intimately God is involved in our lives. And sometimes the line between a miracle and a blessing can blur, but that's okay, because they both reflect God's presence. During the feast, my family experienced some situations that reminded us of how God provides, protects, and reassures us. Were these miracles? Were they blessings? Perhaps they were both. Brethren, I'd like to share those experiences with you. And let's explore how God worked in these moments and see what we can learn about recognizing his hand in our lives. We went to Gatlinburg for the feast, and we got to the place where our cabin was after we checked in, and we found that it was infested with roaches. That's not how we wanted to start the feast out. Right? So I called the people at the cabin rental place, and I talked to the supervisor. She said, here's what we can do for you. We can put you in one cabin for 5 days, but then we're going to have to move you from that cabin to another cabin for the remainder of the time, the remainder 6 days. We're like, okay, well, that's what we have to do. So we loaded all the luggage into the van, and we started heading to this next cabin. We ran into a problem, though, because the road leading to this cabin was so steep and so rocky that our van got stuck. We couldn't move. We were stuck on the way up to it. We couldn't get momentum to get up the road. And on top of that, there was another road. So after we went up one, we had to go up another one, just as steep, just to get to the cabin. Cars were coming up behind us. There were 4 or 5 vehicles behind us. And we were like, okay, well, let's try taking all the luggage out. So we took all the luggage out of the van to see if that would lighten it up and see if we could get going. No, didn't work at all. So we were kind of just stuck. We were there. It was at that moment that, right when we were standing there, that the supervisor from the cabin rentals called back. She said, Mr. Pomar, are you still in the first cabin? I said, of course not. It's infested with roaches. And she said, well, I have a major upgrade for you. And I said, wow, that's awesome. That's great. She said, it's an 8-bedroom lodge that can sleep 24 people, and it has more amenities than you can imagine. We're like, wow, that's great, because this type of thing never happens to us. It happens to other people. So we were like so excited about that and so thankful. We were able to eventually get the van backed up some off the side of the road. The other vehicles can go up, and we were able to back down and then make our way to this next cabin. And when we got there, we were flabbergasted. It's like, wow. Thank you so much. It was just amazing. And so we got settled in. But a few days later, we had another experience. It was Saturday, 4:45 in the morning, and we woke up to someone trying to break into the cabin. And it wasn't just someone jiggling the handle. It was, boom, someone trying to violently break into it. Now, there were 4 French doors at this cabin. And some of these doors were just made of glass. They were just straight up, you know, they had the frame and glass. And this individual was going from door to door methodically trying to break in. So I called the police and I let them know. I was like, a couple times, I said, the cops are on the way and they're going to get you the help you need. But that didn't deter him. He kept trying to break in more and more violently. At one point, he grabbed a piece of wood, went to the glass, bam, 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 bam. tried to shatter it, tried to break in. He would not stop. But you know what, brethren? He couldn't do it. He couldn't break in. God made those doors like iron. No matter what that person did, he could not break in. It was an amazing thing that was happening. While we were waiting for the police, because the police couldn't find the cabin, he was trying to come through. And so I stopped and I prayed. And I thanked God. And I said, Father, thank you so much for your protection, because you're making these doors like iron and this guy cannot come in. Thank you so much for that. I said, but Father, you can hear him. He's trying to come in right now. And I asked him, I said, God, please make him stop and go away. Brethren, within 3 seconds, he stopped and vanished. And I mean, we don't know what happened to him. We don't know where this individual went. We couldn't see him leaving, but he just stopped and he was gone. When the police got there, finally, they did a perimeter search, a check around. They couldn't find him. There were 2 cabins that were close to us. They went and checked them out. They were having parties still at 5 o'clock in the morning, and nobody knew what happened to the guy. They couldn't find him. And these 2 cabins had no idea. They had no idea what was going on. After the police left, I checked the doors to check for damage. There was no damage at all. The glass that this individual was trying to break wasn't even scratched. God protected us. It was amazing. It was an amazing thing that happened. Now fast forward to the next evening. We were there in the cabin, and it was getting dark. And we were like, is this guy going to come back? Because like there's a little something in the back of your mind. It's like, what's going to happen? So I prayed again, and I thanked God again for protecting us. I said, thank you so much, Father, for protecting us, and you didn't let that person come into the house. I said, could you also protect the whole property? I was like, please just protect the whole thing, and please don't let anyone who's not supposed to be there, don't even come on the property. Well, at that moment, while I was saying that prayer, God put an account in my mind, 2 Kings 6, basically, 15 and 17. And it's when Elisha was there with his servant, and his servant was afraid because of this army. And he said, God, please open his eyes that he can see. And God opened his eyes, and he saw all these angels around with the chariots of fire. And it was right at that moment when I asked God to protect the whole property. It's amazing. I knew at that moment everything would be fine. Robin and Abby were nervous as well, naturally, about it a little bit, but I told them as well, and they're like, okay, God's taking care of us. And we had no other problems. Brethren, do you think God performed miracles? I do. Did he give blessings? Yeah, absolutely. I think he did as well. But you know, brethren, miracles and blessings aren't always dramatic, are they? God blesses us so much every day in our lives in ways that we may not even recognize them, but we should. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and just review a couple scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, the word for everything here is a Greek word pas, P-A-S, and it means everything. It means all things. So God tells us, in everything give thanks. Not just huge, grand things, but everything. James 1, verse 17 reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And the word for every there in James 1, verse 17, for every good gift and every perfect gift, is that same word pass, which means all things, everything. So whether a moment is miraculous or it's a simple, quiet blessing, it's a gift from God. And it's an opportunity for us to give thanks. But do we take the time to think about everything God does for us every day? The little things as well as the large things. Have we cultivated an attitude of gratitude? Well, if not, then, brethren, how do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude for God's miracles and his blessings? Well, consider these three practical steps. Number one, keep a gratitude journal. Keep a gratitude journal. Set aside time each day to write down specific things that you're thankful for, whether big or small. This practice helps us recognize God's hand in our lives. Number two, pause for gratitude throughout the day. Make it a habit to thank God for blessings as they happen, such as a kind word from a friend, a nice cup of coffee, or a cup of tea, or a solution to a problem. God blesses us in so many ways. And number three, incorporate giving thanks into our prayers. And when we pray, take time to specifically thank God for the ways he's cared for you that day. Acknowledge both the obvious and the subtle blessings. As we stop and reflect on our daily lives, we see that both miracles and blessings do reveal God's love, care, and his active presence in our lives. Some events, they stand out as extraordinary miracles, like the intruder stopping immediately after prayer. Others, like the provision of the lodge, may feel like more like blessings, but they are no less a testament to God's care. So, brethren, let's ask God to give us eyes to see his hand in all things and cultivate an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for both the miracles and the blessings he provides. Whether they're grand or subtle, these moments remind us that God is with us every step of the way, working for our good and guiding us to trust him more deeply.